Joining us now on ACT Radio, Nelson Campbell. Thanks for being with us, Nelson.
Well, it's great to be here.
Nelson, we usually start off by asking our guests how they became vegan. I can take a guess. Your father is pretty famous in the vegan community. Colin Campbell wrote the China Study. Was he the main motivation for you to go vegan?
Absolutely. And we started to go vegan as a family when I was in my late teens. And I probably made the complete switch in my early 20s. But, yes, it was very much driven by my father and his research and all of the dinnertime conversations that we had about that.
So you weren't a rebellious teen sneaking out to McDonald's?
No, I wasn't. And actually wasn't really all that rebellious as a teen at any rate. But, no, it was just the information that my dad was learning through his research that motivated the change.
Right. And so let's talk a little bit about Plant Pure Nation. It's a film that you worked on, I guess, starting in your 20s and up to now in this point. What inspired you to work on a film?
Well, my background is as an entrepreneur. You know, I've been interested in trying to build, as I call it, socially conscious businesses. And in college, I had no idea that I was even going to do that. I was really interested more in philosophy and politics and economics. But after getting out of college, I realized that to make the kind of impact that I wanted to make, social impact, I decided to pursue that path and also hoping at a certain point as well to gain the resources to do some things in the philanthropic sector. So I've been on this path of being an entrepreneur and was actually getting ready to launch a wellness business, to do many of the things, quite frankly, that we're getting ready to launch now on the heels of this film release. And this was over 2 years ago, and I met a couple of people who were interested in providing some support, and I explained to them this larger wellness vision, but also an idea that I had for a film. And they really, really liked the film concept. So they agreed to provide some support, and that motivated me then to undertake the film project, which took a couple of years.
And you know, the film opens with an interview with your mom, correct?
Yeah.
And she talks a little bit about her experience with her mom. I thought that was a touching story. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, and you know, we could only put some of the highlights of that interview in the film. That's one of the things that's hard about making a film is sometimes you really want to go deeper and you can't just because you don't have the time for it. But her story is really kind of interesting. She grew up in a family that didn't have much money. In fact, they were quite poor. But she had a very, very loving mother, and she had a hard life, a really hard life for a lot of different reasons. But then at the, toward the, I guess she was about 50 years old, kind of on the tail end of all of that hardship, she ended up, getting colon cancer. And she went into the hospital and, she had obvious symptoms of colon cancer, but the doctors turned her back out to the street because she didn't have health insurance and, you know, they didn't have any money. So told her to take some Ex-Lax. And so she went back home and she just got progressively worse and finally got to a point where the hospital had to admit her some months later. And she ended up dying a difficult death. And she was very overweight. You know, they didn't know anything about nutrition. And plus the fact that they were so poor compounded the fact because what money they had, they spent on, you know, cheap, processed, unhealthy foods. And so so that was a story that we wanted to open with because it touches on some of the themes that we bring up later in the film. And also the story of chronic disease like that is something that is in many families. And so we thought that part of her story would resonate with a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone is touched at some level by their by cancer or chronic diseases in their family. And I think one of the themes of the movie that you hit on was, if only I knew, or, you know, why didn't anyone tell me? And I think that's the value of a film like this, is it's really empowering people to try and make healthier choices so that they can avoid going down this path that, so many of our family members have gone down.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, when you mention the poor, I think it's a problem that they face worse than anybody else because of what you refer to as food deserts. Can you explain to our listeners about food deserts?
Food deserts are simply places where people don't have access to healthy foods and produce, and also access to information on nutrition and wellness. And so it's a really serious problem. Many of these places are in urban areas, but also they're in rural areas too. When I drove back and forth from Kentucky to North Carolina driving the storyline of the film, we drove through the eastern part of North Carolina, and, you know, there are vast stretches of rural areas there that have no grocery stores. You know, it's just convenient marts. And, of course, you see that in many inner-city environments, too. And this is a really serious problem that we don't often think about. But, you know, it's this idea that you can be born into a situation where you're condemned to poor health for no other reason than the fact that you're born into that geography, that's just unacceptable. And we have got to do something about that if we're going to be a just society.
You know, you talk in the film about how we rely on our elected officials and the government to make good choices for us and to be supportive of our health. And you didn't quite have the best experience with the Kentucky legislature. And you all were trying to pass a bill that basically originally was trying to get plant-based foods acknowledged as a healthy part of a diet for the state of Kentucky, which seems to suffer from some of the worst health problems in the entire country. How was that experience?
Well, the first thing that happened, and it's documented early in the film, is my father had a chance to speak to the legislature from the floor of the Kentucky House, and he generated a tremendously enthusiastic response for the reasons you just stated, because Kentucky has some serious health problems. And so I was, at that time, contemplating a project in North Carolina, and because of the response that my father got, I sensed an opportunity to do that in Kentucky. So initially, I worked with the fellow who had organized my dad's visit, Tom Reiner, who's a representative in the House, a 33-year member of the House. And we came up with some legislation to simply do a pilot project to demonstrate the impact of diet over a couple weeks on a small group of people in a poor community in eastern Kentucky, you know, in one of these food desert areas. And that then caused the most intense lobby effort that Tom said he'd seen in 30 years. And when the legislation went behind closed doors, it got killed. And so at that point, you know, I'm familiar with a lot of the history behind this idea and the politics because of my father. And I just realized, you know what? We can't let this sort of thing happen behind closed doors anymore. We have got to make this visible so that people understand what's happening here. You know, this is one of the biggest ideas of our times for all the reasons that we talk about in the film. And that's when I decided we're going to create a storyline here that helps to make what has been invisible visible so that people can understand why it is that they haven't heard this incredibly powerful message before.
Who killed it?
Well, it was, in this case here, you know, and it's oftentimes different situations, but in this case here, it was primarily the agribusiness lobby. And so because of that, you know, we spend a good part of the film addressing the connection of this idea of plant-based nutrition to agriculture. And as you saw in the film, we make the argument that actually this is good for a particular kind of agriculture. This idea, if the world were to go plant-based, we make the argument that that would create the conditions for a renaissance in small family farming, focusing on local markets. So this is a great idea for the smaller growers who are producing wholesome foods for supply into local markets. you know, while corporate agribusiness, you know, while some elements may not like this idea, doesn't mean it's bad for agriculture.
Yeah, because I think you mentioned that 300, you know, it's almost 300 farms a day close. And, you know, there was 7 million in the 30s, and now there's 2 million farms as the big farms grow. And then they grow, you know, one main crop or a couple main crops that most of it is used to feed animals and not to feed humans. So let's talk about your trip back to North Carolina. You started it's a Jumpstart program, right?
That's right. So basically we took the idea that had been shot down in Kentucky for this initial legislation, the idea of a pilot project, and we took it back to where I live in North Carolina and did that, and we did it on an even grander scale. We actually ended up doing 5 interventions in a small rural town where people hadn't heard of this idea before, and we showed the impact that we could have and how the idea could gain in popularity as this information got out.
What's the composition of this program? It includes education and what else?
Well, it starts out with a biometric test, which basically is just a cholesterol panel. And then we provided some front-end education. We had an education session. And then we had 10 days of prepared meals that we gave to people. We also had a little web platform, a little website where people could come and talk to one another as they were going through the process. I also was available, too, to talk to folks through the 10 days. So a lot of days I'd go sit up at the place where we dispersed the meals and just talk to people as they were coming in. And then at the end, we did a follow-up biometric test to document health improvement for people.
You really expected results in only 10 days?
We did, because we know some physicians around who have been using this idea with their patients and, you know, various clinics where they use this idea to improve people's health. And so we knew that the changes could happen rapidly.
Wow.
And we weren't really all that surprised by the results that we got.
Yeah, and it was a neat cross-section, too, of the community that you got. It was, you know, a daycare worker and a farmer, I think it was a dairy farmer, and it was just surprising to see people's reaction to how the drastic results that happened in just 10 days. I definitely didn't expect that myself.
Yeah, it really is dramatic, and I would say that over 80% of the people who were medicated for one reason or another had the option to get off at the end. And, of course, for those folks, you know, we encourage them to do the program in consultation with their physicians. But the impact is really dramatic. Most people have no idea of the degree to which they can control their health by moving to a whole food plant-based diet. You know, and so this really isn't about just a diet or a lifestyle. It's really about life and death and human suffering. This is a serious, serious issue.
So what's the next step? It seems like really the film is great at bringing awareness to this, and it seems like it's a part of a movement that you all are creating. What's the next platform for you all, you know, based on this film?
Well, we are now getting very, very close to launching what we call Plant Pure Pods all across the country. These are going to be local groups who are focused on helping to spread this message within local communities, and then also creating a community and other forms of support that enable people who've committed to this lifestyle to stay on the path. We're using the film to help launch these groups. We're in the middle right now of a theatrical release. We'll be in theaters in 120 or more cities by October. And so every place we go, we're announcing to people this Plant Pure Pod concept and the fact that we're going to be launching a Plant Pure Pod in their community. And we're also very excited about the way in which we're doing this. Initially, I wanted to do the whole thing as a nonprofit, but then was advised by our lawyers that because certain elements are business-like, that I couldn't do that without losing our 501c3 status. So we ended up, we have a for-profit company, which we're going to be registering as a B corporation, which is an unusual form of corporate organization. But what this will allow us to do is to define a social mission for the enterprise and then use profits in support of that social mission. And this entity will be providing a lot of the support that these pods need to fulfill the mission that I just mentioned, from a web platform to wellness programming to actual food. In fact, the Jumpstart program that's in the film will be online and available to people. Profits from those activities then that aren't reinvested back in the infrastructure will be shared back with the foundation, Plant Pure Nation Foundation. And this foundation will be undertaking some socially meaningful initiatives that we think will really help to motivate and inspire this grassroots movement.
And what will generate the profits?
For example, the various things that we do to support these local groups. So again, you know, we have a web platform that will have the functionality of Facebook and Meetup and some other things. We also have a video-based content stream that we're calling our Plant Pure TV, which will be streaming through these pod sites to people. We have the wellness programming, the Jumpstart program. We have food products that we'll be providing to people. So all of these things will help to generate revenues that we can then invest back in the movement, you know, and expanding the infrastructure and also sharing back with this nonprofit foundation to undertake these national initiatives. So a couple things we're going to do right off the bat through the foundation is we're going to launch a campaign to encourage people across the country to submit legislation in their state legislatures similar to what we did in Kentucky. We're calling it the Plant Pure Truth Campaign. We also are undertaking something we're calling our Plant Pure Oasis Program, where we're going to be working primarily with church partners to get plant-based foods into low-income food desert communities at prices that are affordable, along with information on nutrition and wellness. So we actually have a church in Chicago that will be helping us to sort of pilot this concept, and we hope to roll that out across the country as well.
Wow, it sounds really ambitious, and I really hope for its success. It could change the world.
Well, we're hoping it does, and as that happens, by the way, we want to take a very inclusive approach. We don't want this to be a divisive movement, because the reality is that health affects all of us, and also anytime you see societal change like this, some people, you know, are going to feel threatened by that, but the fact is that change always breeds new opportunity. And so what we want to do as part of this movement is to help people out there who are currently dependent on the existing system to find new opportunities. So in the area of farming, for example, you know, we want to commit our foundation to helping to research and develop new opportunities in farming that are connected to this way of eating. We also are going to be working with healthcare systems. We have a partner in Florida that we're going to be working with to develop a model where hospitals and physicians can actually make money by proactively reaching out into the community to help employers lower healthcare costs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this is very, very important to us. I don't want to alienate or divide anyone. This is something that affects all of us, and we just have to figure out how we're going to all adapt to this change, because it's coming, and there's nothing that anyone can do to stop it. This information's out there.
Right. Yeah, like you say in the film, that's the truth. The truth doesn't go away.
It doesn't.
Well, Nelson, can you tell our listeners where they can go to learn more about Plant Pure Nation and see about how they can get involved themselves and make a meaningful change for animals, the environment, and for their health?
Yes, I think the best place to start is simply our website, which is plantpurenation.com. We also have a Facebook page under the same name, plantpurenation.com. But we would encourage people who are listening to go to the website and to join us so that we have your email, and that way we can keep you informed. We have a newsletter that we send out every 2 weeks to people to keep them updated on what we're doing.
Great. I'll be signing up today.
We've been talking with Nelson Campbell, executive producer, director, and co-writer of the film Plant Pure Nation. Thanks a lot for being with us, Nelson. It's a great story.
All right. Well, thank you for having me.